Succinct and to the point.
Yep. And speaking of, let's head out to the Neighbors Wealth Management Hotline. Yellowwood, Cat Reynolds, and Max Hughes Trucking brings our conversation with Coach Gene Stallings on the Neighbors Wealth Management Hotline. Coach, how are you this evening?
I'm doing fine. Other than worms taking over my ranch, we got these army worms that are really attacked in Lamar County, and they can go through a pasture overnight, really.
Ooh, that sounds fairly serious, and hope all goes well on that front. And another serious situation is the play calling for the Alabama Crimson Tide, Coach. How would you assess what you saw over the weekend with Alabama?
Well, it wasn't one of their better performances. They won the game. That's the whole idea. Where the week before, they were extremely good on third down, and this past week, they were 2 out of 13. You've got to be 40-50% if you're going to be a good football team. They only had 300 yards total offense, and last week, they had 500 and played a whole lot better team, so I don't know whether they were thinking about Georgia or not, but they need to be because Georgia's a good football team.
How do you size up that matchup, Coach?
Well, it's a must game for Alabama. You know, they've lost a game. You can't afford to lose two and win your division. And so it's a must game. Georgia's undefeated, so if they lose, well, they're not out of the picture if Alabama loses. You know, you take a team like Alabama and you back them up against the wall, they're going to be a tough team. And for 75 games, Alabama's been the favorite. Now, they're not in this game. This sort of breaks the streak. But can you imagine being the favorite in 75 consecutive games, which means that they've got good players and they're well coached and a lot of people have respect for them, but they're not the favorite this week, and I think it's because they're playing in Athens.
Well, Coach Stallings, this is Drew DeArmond, and it's an honor to be on with you. I wanted to ask you, I know in your coaching career at Alabama and throughout, you've had younger quarterbacks that you've taken on the road, and when you and your staff game planned, did you try – how much did you want to give a young quarterback to do? Like, Jake Coker's not young, but he's an inexperienced guy. As far as for the game plan, what would you what should be put on Jake Coker on Saturday going into his first ever road start at Georgia?
Well, they've got two good running backs. I'd give the ball to the running backs, and I'd take the ball to the running back, and I'd roll out where he didn't have to throw the ball downfield very far. If the receiver wasn't open, he could throw it out of bounds so forth, and that helps his confidence. I don't care who you are. You don't like to start off 0-for-5 in your completion. But if you're 3-and-3 and just make 15 yards, you still feel pretty good about being able to complete the pass. So I'd give him some easy routes to throw and run away from some of the pressure so they couldn't trap him and build his confidence up a little bit. I'm sure that's part of what they're thinking, too.
Well, all in all, it really comes down to it. Coach Dye talked about this last night. When it's fairly even, special teams are such a critical part of these types of very close matchups, Coach.
Special teams are a big part of all the games, really. Alabama's got their field goal kicking back in sync. And before the season started, they had a punter that was preseason All-American. He's kicking the ball better now. You have a decent return game, and I think the special teams is sort of even out. I think that Alabama's defense is a little bit better than Georgia's. Georgia's got a good offense. Alabama's got a good offense. Both of them have good running backs. So I'd say that's sort of a washout. And I think Alabama's defense is a little bit better than Georgia's. So I'd give the odds to Alabama myself. Plus, they have their back to the wall, and they know they've got to win. They hadn't been in this situation very often, but I'm sure that they've been reminded of the importance of this game.
Yeah, and, Coach, obviously A big reason that they didn't come out on top against Ole Miss was five turnovers. They didn't protect the football. After a result like that, and you feel like you didn't play your best, and you really honestly gave the game to the other team, what did you and your when you were the head football coach at Alabama and when you were a head coach in the NFL, how did you work on ball security and emphasize and kind of make that where it's not where it doesn't become an issue game in and game out?
Yeah, just let's say that you back up and throw the football. Well, you've got to see the entire field. Unless you have experience, it's hard to do that. Your offensive linemen have got to protect the quarterback. So that's the reason I would give him some play action, sprint out. So now he's just got one or two receivers to look at, and he hadn't got to back up and watch the entire field. And so that's what I would do to him. And I'm sure Alabama will do that. When you back up and throw the football, the experienced quarterbacks can read that defense and go to the intended receiver, the alternate receiver, and go to the next play. But I don't think that they have this kind of experience so far, and so I'd help them out doing that.
There's a lot of really good matchups here in Week 5 in the SEC, Coach, and I can't help but want to go to Texas A&M, Mississippi State next with Kyle Field playing host to this matchup. How do you size up the Bulldogs and the Aggies, Coach?
Well, there won't be a lot of cowbells down at College Station, but there'll be a lot of Aggies hollering and yelling, and so it's going to be extremely loud. A&M's having a good year so far. They were very fortunate beating Arkansas, but they beat Arkansas. And so they're sitting there undefeated, and I think that they got a wide receiver and a punt return guy that's young, and their quarterback is getting better and better. They got a good running back. Defense has improved, so I believe I'd give the nod to A&M.
Now, that would keep them undefeated on the year, Coach, and I'm not sure how many folks had A&M undefeated heading into October, but how big of a key do you think the new defensive coordinator, John Chavis, has been for the Aggies, you think, Coach?
Well, they're playing a whole lot better defense than they did last year. So, obviously, everything starts at the top. So, I think he's done a good job. I do not know him. I haven't met with him or anything of that nature, but the results are what count. And he's getting results from his players. They've got a defensive right end. I think he's number 15. He can play for anybody. He can really pressure that quarterback and get to him. And so they're going to have to block him if they're going to be able to have any kind of passing game or run away from it.
And, Coach, obviously it's going to be a big matchup for Texas A&M against Mississippi State, but another very interesting one is Ole Miss and Florida. I know you saw how Florida came back magically and won the 11th straight over the Tennessee Volunteers, but Ole Miss has been playing really good football, took advantage of the turnovers, beat Alabama, found a way to kind of overcome the hangover and win an ugly game against Vanderbilt. But it's a dangerous game whenever you know how tough it is to play in the swamp down in Florida. What do you think about that matchup?
Well, I think Ole Miss, best football team. Best football teams usually win. They don't always. But I think they're better than Florida. Florida's is getting better. They should have lost to Tennessee. Tennessee had every reason in the world to defeat them, but they didn't. And sometimes that monkey can get on your back when you go to down to the swamp. You've lost year after year after year, and that sort of plays on your psyche. I think Ole Miss is their quarterback is playing good, and they're moving the football, so I think they'll beat Florida.
And that leads us into the Desperation Bowl, and that would be Arkansas and Tennessee there in Knoxville. I got a hunch Tennessee's going to come back and play their best game in this one, but what do you think, Coach?
Well, I think Arkansas is playing. They played extremely good against A&M. Should have won the game, really. They lose the game and get into an overtime, and they A&M scored. But they actually, in my opinion, watching the game, they played better than Texas A&M did. So I think Arkansas is a pretty good team. If I were going to pick one, I'd say Arkansas will win the game.
And, Coach, I think they're in a similar situation as in your first year at Alabama in 1990. Y'all lost to Southern Miss, Georgia, and Florida, all close ball games. You were very close to winning all three of those. Then you got over the hump, and you I thought your signature win that year was winning at Tennessee. When Lee Corso's comment will live in infamy about playing a high school team, and as you said, there's a reason he's not coaching. But what do you think about Arkansas? They could turn their season around like you guys did. And what was the key that year to you guys getting everything, overcoming that kind of start to finish very strong and have a winning season?
Well, first of all, we played well. We lost to Southern Miss, but we had 500 yards offense. We had less than 200. We turned the ball over five times. So we lose that game. We're playing Florida, and we're playing pretty well, but we get a punt block. They throw a long pass out of the end zone. We lose that game, but we played pretty well. It's one thing losing and playing bad, and one thing about losing and playing good. Then we go down and play Georgia. We got 10 minutes to play, and we're up 10 points. I said, we're going to win this game. And then things happen. We end up losing that silly game. Then we beat Vanderbilt, and obviously it was a great, great win against Tennessee. And that sort of kick-started my career there, really, because when you start off 0-3 at Alabama, I assure you, there's a little grumbling going around.
Yeah, but you did turn it around. You broke the losing streak to Auburn, which had been at three, and it kind of set the tone for your whole tenure there, and led to two great years, and obviously a 28-game unbeaten streak. So Arkansas is in the same boat, but it's ironic because they play the same kind of style of football a lot of times that your teams did, and they were very close against Texas A&M, as you said, and really gave the game against Toledo away. So I still think they've got a pretty good football team too, Coach. I wouldn't be surprised, but I will say this: if they do beat Tennessee on the road, Butch Jones, you're talking about people grumbling. There are going to be a lot of Tennessee fans grumbling.
Well, they are, but Tennessee's getting better. There's no question about that. They're a better football team than they were last year, but they're not quite over the hump. They've got to beat a good football team where their players can get a little bit more confidence. The University of Texas, the coach got a penalty that moved the ball on down for Oklahoma State. I was coaching at Texas A&M. We'd lost three in a row. We're playing Texas Tech, and we've got Texas Tech beat. We got them backed up. It's like 3rd and 20, and we trap the quarterback. But we get a defensive holding penalty. And then after I get through visiting with the official, I get another 15-yard penalty. So instead of them losing 20-something, they gain 30. Well, we end up winning the game on the last play of the game. Monday, the president of A&M was General Rutter, came in to see me. I said, if he wanted to brag on the game, he'll call me to come to his office. He shows up my office. He said, you know how hard it is to win a game? I said, yes, sir. He said, I don't ever want to see you contributing, thus losing a game. You understand that? I said, yes, sir, I understand that. That ended the conversation. But the Texas coach really hurt his football team when they were playing Oklahoma State for getting that 15-yard penalty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Coach, there was some headlines brought about by a Texas A&M regent, Tony Busby, today, who was hoping the Aggies could schedule the University of Texas so they could, quote, play some cupcake games.
Well, you know, the University of Texas is going to be a good football team. They've got good players. For some reason, they can't get it all put together. But I wouldn't call them a cupcake team by any stretch of the imagination. There's been some hard feelings between A&M and Texas. A&M wanted to play. Texas said they didn't. It's been a great rivalry for many, many years. And hopefully they'll play that game, just like Texas A&M playing Arkansas and Dallas. That doesn't make sense to me. You take all the people in College Station that have hotels and motels and restaurants, and they live and breathe with the Aggies, and now we take all that money to Dallas. I mean, I just can't understand why in the world we would do that. But for recruiting, but now players see every game they want to see on television, and I hope that they will eventually put that series back at home and home.
Coach, I can't help but want to get your thoughts on Auburn. I know 2-2 through the first month is not where Auburn fans want the program to be, but after last weekend's loss to Mississippi State and Sean White's performance, where do you think Auburn falls in for the rest of the year, Coach?
Well, they can't fold the tent. They've got to go ahead and play well. I don't know whether – obviously they did what they thought was best, but putting in a quarterback that hadn't played any and taking a guy out that's preseason has good numbers going into the season. I know he threw some interceptions, but they didn't score many points. And I'm a little disappointed, really, the way the Auburn's playing defense. Now, anybody could play poor defense against LSU. I understand that. That running back's a real deal. But I don't think they played defense up to what I thought they would play at the beginning of the year.
Well, it's all of a sudden that Thursday night game against Kentucky looms pretty large on the schedule, Coach.
Yeah, it does. And I think that I really think they've got a good coach. I've got a good athletic director. Just something is not clicking. I think that before the year's over, Auburn's going to be a much improved team. And I was looking forward to them having a good year because when Alabama and Auburn both were performing at a high level, I think it's good for the state myself. And that's always a big game. But hopefully they'll get it all put together and start playing better.
Coach, you mentioned the real deal being Leonard Fournette and Herschel Walker, who wasn't too shabby himself at the University of Georgia, came out today and said that Leonard Fournette is better than he ever was.
Well, that's quite a compliment to the youngster, but Herschel was awfully good. You know, he best I remember now, he went out early into the new league.
Yes, sir.
If he had finished his career there at Georgia, no telling what kind of records he would have set. He was a real deal. This guy at LSU is a real deal also. It's going to take a good football team. Beat them, especially in Baton Rouge.
And Coach,
Alabama plays them in Tuscaloosa, and so that'll help a little bit.
And, Coach, finally, your specialty was defense. You did such a great job with the Cowboys in the secondary. Alabama's got some young talent in the secondary they're bringing along slowly. Defensively, I know you said you give Alabama the edge going back to the Georgia game. What would you do if you were Alabama defensively? Would you blitz Georgia some and change up the looks, or would you play base defense and let your front go to work?
First of all, I'd put pressure on the quarterback. You know, you give any quarterback in this league time to throw the football, and they'll complete it. Maybe an underneath pass, but they'll complete the ball. And the whole idea is you got to pressure him. If four people can't get to him, then send five. If five can't get to him, send six. When you talk about blitzing the quarterback, you're talking about having one more rusher than they got protectors. And then you got to figure out who gets who, if it's a swing pass, and et cetera, et cetera. So it's a little bit more complicated than it sounds, but I would put pressure on any game that I played. I sort of like to pressure that quarterback. I didn't want to give him time to sit back there and throw the ball.
Is it maybe important to do that early, get the pressure on the quarterback early in the first quarter, Coach?
I think it is, and then rattle him. And they've got people that can pressure that quarterback. You tell your defensive backs that when you're pressuring or blitzing the quarterback, they're not trying to knock it down. And they're just trying to keep a receiver from catching it. And if he does catch it, they just tackle him. You start off first and 10. Your pressure comes with your lineman, your linebackers rushing. The secondary, all they've got to do is cover the man the man inside. And if he catches the ball, tackle him and go to the next play.
Well, Coach, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you. Look forward to talking with you next Wednesday. And hopefully Wes is feeling a little under the weather, and he'll be back 100% hopefully next week.
Well, I hope he will, too, and thank you guys for promoting the game. And I always enjoy being on your show.
Thank you, Coach.
Thank you, Coach. It was our pleasure.
That is Coach Gene Stallings on the Neighbors Wealth Management Hotline, and plenty of good insight there from the former Crimson Tide head coach. And I tell you, we've had so much fun reminiscing with him about, if you think about teachers of the game, you think about who taught Gene Stallings, Bear Bryant, and Tom Landry.
Not too shabby.
It's kind of ridiculous when you think about it, of Those are master's courses. There's no doubt about that.
Well, there's no doubt about it, Steve. And when you think about, I believe, Allie Sherman with the Giants, and he had an offensive coordinator who was pretty good named Vince Lombardi,
yeah,
and a defensive
yeah.
coordinator was pretty good named Tom Landry. That may have been, you could say that could have been the greatest coaching staff of all time. Though Bill Parcells' old Giant staffs
yeah.
are making a run at that with Bill Belichick. And you remember the wide receivers coach for that staff, Tom Coughlin.
That's right. Gosh, I mean, there's so many good staffs, and the one that immediately comes to mind is what Belichick built at Cleveland, the one that was featured on the NFL Network.
And ironically, guess who gave Bill Parcells, you know, his first job in the NFL?
Bill Belichick.
Yeah, they. You know, but what I was going to say is that the one that gave Bill Parcells his first job in the NFL was Ray Perkins.
Okay, that's right.
So it all intertwines together. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, you think it's this big tree, but it's actually a pretty tight-knit, close community.
Because Bill Parcells followed Ray Perkins, I do believe, as head football coach
of
the Giants.
That's right. Let's talk with Bobby. You tell me, Ray, is Steven still there on line three? Let's talk with...